All right. So everybody that's joining us from Zoom, did you hear that clearly? We are going to pray with scripture to begin with. So hopefully you have your Bibles. And the passage is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. It happens to be the gospel proclaimed at Mass in the church today. And it's perfect for introducing prayer. Anybody needs a little help or needs a Bible? Do you have a Bible that we can give to Patty then? Or Patty have one? You have
one. Which one are we reading, Deacon? This is Susie.
What's the question?
What are we reading of Luke? Which chapter and verse?
Chapter 6, 12 through 19. It's what you heard at Mass today.
I didn't go to Mass today.
Oh, well, it's what you would have heard in Mass.
I would have.
All right. Well, good thing you're going to hear it.
Chapter 6, 12 through...
to 19. Just go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and you're fine. Okay, as always, let's begin by placing ourselves in the Lord's presence, or actually recognizing that we're in the Lord's presence at all times. Take a few deep breaths and let go of the challenges of the day and the things that want to continue to nod your mind, and just enjoy a moment of peace as we open our minds and hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles, Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits was cured. Everyone in the crowd stopped to touch him because power came forth from him and he healed them. In this passage, Jesus reveals three things to us that are part of a life that's centered on God. First, the importance of prayer. Second, that we're called, just like the apostles, to go out to share the good news of the power of God's love. And finally, and this is what we can expect when we center ourselves on the Lord. As long as we remember that prayer is about becoming more like Jesus, it's our relationship with God, it's our communication with God, it's opening ourselves up to God's life, as much as we're sharing our life with God, it's not trying to coax God into doing what we want God to do. It's more about being open to God's will. It's being heart to heart with God, mind to mind with God, face to face with God. It's no accident the fact that reconciliation is named that, because the root word in Latin, filia, means kind. That's the kind of closeness God needs. Not just face to face, but eyelash to eyelash. That's the desire you feel in yourself that leads you to come. But that's God's desire, which God has shared with us. And then we do what's natural when we have that kind of relationship with God. We just allow His love to work in us and through us. And that's how God's love continues to spread throughout the world. just one comment about people. You might think, oh, wow, we're going to have to be able to heal people. Oh, yes, we do. Not miraculously like Jesus. But the best way that we can heal others is to forgive. That's when we're most like Jesus. This night, in this warm evening, we appreciate every cool breeze you send our way. But we want to have minds that are open, and more importantly, hearts that are open. So you can lead all of us, wherever we are on this journey of faith, to be one with you in the prayer, in the way we share your good news, and in the way we allow you to cause your love to work in us and through us to be in us. Right, well, this is one of those nights where you're going to have very little of me and a lot of other people to sit with it. So, Ben just asked me to lead the prayer. I knew we were going to be short this evening because there were four people that said they couldn't come. And so they're depending on me sending them the recording. There were more than this that we're going to zoom in, but we at least have three zooming in. But I also need to beat everything else. And who knows? And now they may have barricaded us. If you're on the east end of the town, good luck. Maybe you have to take it. But we're small, but we're mighty. And we have somebody new here today. So I can introduce Patty. Patty's fully initiated. She's received all her sacraments. She shared with me Saturday night at our wonderful event here. She went to Catholic school, and she has a lot of Catholic perspective. But in her faith journey, she feels this is the right time to come and dive more deeply into her faith. And we talked about it. To allow God to expand her relationship with God to more of an adult level. Right? A lot of us, we needed that at a certain point in time. We stopped the faith formation, and yet we continue to mature. So it's time to catch up. So our relationship with God is as mature as we are, hopefully. So welcome, Patty. Glad to have you here. She's a friend of Teresa, so we can get the benefit from some Teresa. All right? Okay, so there are three people that are going to facilitate tonight. It's going to begin with Mandy. She's going to begin and do the first part. Diana will do the second part. We'll take a break. And then Mary's going to lead us in a form of prayer.
We're going to start with the video. So, John, Chief and John, help me with the text.
All over the back. All right, here we go.
Roll the tape. And I actually just watched this video today. I'm sure I watched it last year and the year before. But as you're watching it, think about what stands out and how that stands out for you.
Okay, again, this is another a short clip from a video from Forms. So remember, we talked about that. We've used a little clip from this wonderful website. This is the fourth week in a row. Last week, we actually showed you how to do that with a slide. That's already posted on the RCIA website. So if you need to go back and figure out that simple sequence, it's on the PDF of the PowerPoint from last week. And this is entitled Prayer, A Surge of the Heart.
Sometimes it can be really hard to start praying, just like, you know, you're coming out from work or starting the day and not being fully awake and not knowing what to do or being so caught up in our own problems. It's very hard to focus on God. One essential thing to do when we want to start to pray is to call on the Holy Spirit. God will never refuse His Holy Spirit to anyone who asks for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit
is the first one who will prepare our hearts. He will help us. All the fruits of prayer are really the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Peace, joy, love, generosity, long-suffering, you know. We could go on and on. Prayer empowers us in life. There are many situations we face that seem beyond us and discouraging and to oppress us and push us down. But through prayer, we get the grace of God, all the spiritual blessings of heaven in Christ flowing through us. And so we become empowered to face life, to face situations where we can never say we're totally helpless, because we might not be able to do anything practical, but prayer is doing something, because you're bringing God into the equation. And wherever God is, there's power, there's strength, and there's grace for action and light to discern, you know, how to live my life, how to respond to God.
I can't imagine a life without prayer. Prayer is my consolation in times of need, my joy in times of happiness. I know that through prayer I can give all my troubles to God.
For the last 3 years or so, it's been so important, but my life before that, I hardly prayed at all, and I found it very difficult. And there was an emptiness, a lack, a sense that a lack of purpose, a lack of direction, and most of all, a lack of peace, because I wasn't really in communion with God. I had lots of ideas about Him, but I didn't know Him.
I think prayer is important because it connects us to God, and it gives us that time to just be still and listen to Him. And it's very hard to listen to Him sometimes in daily life. Once you're away from the hubbub, and you've got time to just be still, to just pray and sit in the garden perhaps and be still, you really have that time to be with God. So I think that it's important to just take that time out, whether it's in your daily life or going away on holiday with God. You need to make that time.
Well, we need to dispose ourselves. That's something which St. Teresa of Avila constantly reminds us of. She compares it to the farmer preparing the ground, removing the rocks, getting the soil ready, so that we can receive the spring rains, the gift of God. The same is true for ourselves as human beings. We have to be able to prepare ourselves. And that means finding silence, or at least quietness. It means finding space and dedicating the time, however we set about that in our lives.
It's important not to choose times of great distraction, but rather to choose a moment when we can be quiet. And there are certain times in our lives when it is difficult to pray, but we should carve out that time anyway.
The first actual stance before God is humility. The recognition of who I am before God, that really I'm nothing, that I'm a sinner, that I don't always get it right, and I'm standing before or kneeling before or in the presence of the Almighty, loving Father who's given everything to me, and therefore that I need to approach God humbly. We are here, and everything we have is a pure gift. This eternal redemption, our election, everything is a gift, you know. We're living in the order of gift since Christ came. The greatest gift is Jesus. But again, Paul says, you know, every spiritual blessing in the heavens has been given to us in Christ.
When we're children, we think of our relationship with God as transactional. If we do enough prayers, if we ask hard enough, God will give us something. And I suppose as children we act like that with our parents too. But our parents know that saying thank you is even a greater response. And God needs us to say thank you, not for Himself, but for us to be whole. The prayer of gratitude makes us happy. When we begin to say thank you, we begin to value all the gifts that He has given us.
prayer, for it to be real, for it to be consistent, needs to be regular. It's like working as a relationship. Of course, working as a relationship is not heavy work, it's not bad, it's wonderful because it's a relationship of love, so you want to be with that person. But there is a whole discovery, a whole getting to know, a whole getting to experience things together, and a whole lot of patience and perseverance that need to be put into a human relationship, and in the same way with a relationship with God.
It's natural to us as human beings to pray. And even people who've never been taught how to pray, in moments of crisis, will sometimes invent prayers for themselves. Why is this happening to me? God, help me. That's not uncommon, even among people who've never, ever been taught how to pray. But natural prayers tend to be what we call third personal, so requesting things from God. And that's not wrong, but God wants us to go further in our prayers. And he wants us to pray in the life of grace, in the Spirit. And when we pray in the life of grace, given to us first of all normally by baptism, we're praying as children of God. And then our prayer is what we call second personal. So it's not just asking things from God or bargaining with God, but speaking and listening to God and desiring to be with God and to do God's will. It's that ultimately a kind of union of the soul with God. And that's an interpersonal kind of prayer, which is far beyond what we're naturally capable of, what we're actually born with.
So, I want to start with a little bit about myself, for those of you guys who don't know. I am what I guess would be called a baby Catholic. I converted to the Catholic faith 2 years ago. So if prayer is a muscle, I would have baby muscles. So I am, a lot of what I want to share is really with my own reflection and my own kind of prayer path that I'm learning along the way. I'm by no means an expert. If I look around this room, there are people that have been practicing prayer lives far longer than I, dare I say, maybe even longer than I.
Oh, thanks. How old do you think we are?
So, please feel free to jump in. I'm not at all sitting here acting like I'm any expert on prayer, but I do think personally, for me, prayer is the most central thing to our faith, because prayer is the relationship with God, which is the whole point of our faith, right? It's because we've always been growing in that relationship, at least it is for me. So I want you guys to share what stands out for you guys from this video. Yeah, I think the majority of us tonight are on the team, so I want this to be a pull. Plus, like I said, you got, there's far more expertise in this room than what I have, and I think we need to hear that expertise. This is my expertise, but it's probably not too long ago to have a baby have to do. Like, starting to say, like, thank you for what you've given me, because I have been brought up with mom. And I've lost touch with that. And then in the video, it talks about how, like, kids, their parents, like, take me to school. And I came home, like, remember, being really frustrated with the teenagers, not being grateful. And I'm like, all I wanted to do is this. Like, to acknowledge that I've done something for you, and I've been speaking that all day. And then here I am, like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I haven't said my name. And then that was one of the thoughts that I put down to is prayers for all times, good times and bad times. But the good times help for our life and perspective, right? And they help us to see, to say thank you wow, like, this is something to be grateful for today, this is something small. And that helps us to put everything, the bad times, even into perspective. Yeah. Yeah, like prayer requires some planning, right? And some forethought so that you can build it into a day, building it into a daily practice, building it into a habit. And it takes 28 days to build a habit. And so committing to 28 days of daily prayer might help us to build that habit and set aside that time.
Before we came over, there was a change in Mary and I was doing our climbing in the mirror with all my shit. And Mary came out of town for a week, so we couldn't get caught up. And we were, the mic was doing Judah chapter 9. And priest referenced that a lot of times Mary prayed, we just asked for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah is in a position where she's going to do something to help save Israel at the time of the Babylonian exile. And she starts her prayer with these beautiful expectations of thanking God and praising God. And she uses terms like, Lord God of my father Simeon, into whose hand you put a sword to take the vengeance upon the foreigners. And she goes on and she just praises him and says all these beautiful things. And I think we don't do enough of that in our prayer. I certainly don't. I'm always looking for help instead of actually saying the praise. And Mary's trying to help me to find some of the names. Anyway, thank you.
There's a saying out there that for a lot of people, religion is like fire insurance.
Yeah.
You only worry about it when you're in a crisis, right?
Right. Yeah.
And there's something to it. When things are falling apart around us, it reminds us, oh, yeah, I need God. So we go to God then. But what God wants is a relationship, which means you share all your experience. Everything. Good, bad, everything.
Yeah, and one of the things, go ahead. And that's the time we really need to. And I think a lot of times in prayer that we're given the opportunity to start it without even knowing. It's kind of like a friend coming over and going, hi, how are you? And you're like, oh, wait. And I think we don't listen a lot. Especially when we're so full of so much communicable stuff like that. All we need in it. And that's the language. That and just the open to those signs throughout our day, like Connie saying, this might be the message that I need it for today. That's listening, right? I mean, I think one of the biggest things and aha moments I knew before, but I keep reminding myself is that prayer empowers us. And when I think about empowerment, I think about empowerment is our ability to do this, our ability to make. So prayer is just as much about action, too, and God working through us than that transactional type of prayer where we ask God for things. But I feel like I have a better connection when I'm asking God to help work through me instead of asking for things. Did you go to the next slide?
Go ahead and keep you guys.
You're so ahead of me. Okay. So I don't want you to answer if you pray or not, because I don't want to call anybody out. But it, you know, think about and reflect tonight on who you pray and how do you pray and what it looks like. And I challenge you guys, I know we have limited time and I want to have more conversations. I don't want to have a table talk discussion about this, but prayer is we go back to that, like, how we learn how to do things and how we solve things through our childlike lens. John touched on that, and they touched on that in the video. But prayer is so much more than making sure you're kneeling by your bedside and saying your prayer at night. Prayer can take so many forms, and particularly the Catholic Church, I learned more about that and the different forms of prayer as a convert to the Catholic Church than what I learned in, you know, my the previous Protestant faith that I was involved in. And prayer was just, listening. But we have so many, as Catholics, we have so many, we're open to something more forms of prayer. So as Deacon Don said, prayer, this is a turn for me, text what? So what is prayer? So first and foremost, it's our relationship with God. And as you said, Patty, right, that it's about listening just as much as we're talking. And this had me thinking about marriage prep and the languages, the five love languages. And I don't know if anybody appears in there. Are you in marriage prep? Yeah, so you probably have already talked about the five love languages in marriage prep.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys probably know them. This is me racking my brain because I did marriage prep 2 years ago. So this is me racking my brain about the five love languages. But I think I was thinking about if prayer is a relationship with God, and there's many different ways to express love, like how do those five love languages transfer into like our relationship with God in our prayer life? And I'm thinking one of those love languages is like communication or expression, like verbal expression, right? Yeah, words of affirmation. So I'm thinking, okay, how does that translate into a prayer, into prayer? And I'm thinking letters, when we love someone, we write letters, but journaling as a form of prayer, writing and journaling, like poems as well, like love poems, and thinking prayer, like praise music or hymns, listening to music as a form of prayer. That's something that Catholics in particular recognize music as a form of prayer. And gifts, I thought of how that translates into prayer, it's service. Mother Teresa said prayer and action is love. Love and action of service. So what can we give to others? Like actually serving others is a form of prayer. So if you think about that, there's so many more opportunities in our day to pray than what I think about and we limit ourselves to. Offering our time. So building in that daily time for a regular practice. We offer our time and our relationships with our loved ones. So to build our relationship with God, we have to offer and spend time and make an effort. And then I thought, okay, this is a stretch, but like, isn't touch one of the love languages?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, a way to pray in the Catholic Church, it's even like receiving the Eucharist, and the kinesthetic things that we do, like crossing ourselves, we're reminding ourselves and set ourselves up for prayer, and those are forms of touch, and our ritual, the Mass, those are like physical touching movements that help connect us and build our relationship. Did I miss any?
Sacraments.
Oh, well, the sacraments. Look, I had it written down.
Oh, there you
sacraments.
Go. Sacraments are perfect example.
A love language. I don't remember. It was like 6 months ago. That was like 6 months ago. Yeah, so, but like types of like baptism, the holy oil, like receiving the holy oil on your child, those are all, that's a love language too. It's also our like moving form of prayer. So why do we pray? I mean, to build that relationship, right? And to have that union, with God. I think of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and that's like what he needs to be able to function at the very basis. We need food and water, we need exercise and movement, but our souls need communion, communion with each other and our relationship with each other and our relationship with God, our soul needs that meaning, that prayer. One of my favorite Martin Luther King Jr. quotes is, I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to get it all done. because prayer goes back to that discernment. It like helps guide us in our lives. It helps us to strengthen our relationship with God, but also through God with each other and with others. And so I think about all the work and effort it takes when our relationships are broken or when things go wrong, when they're falling apart, it takes more work and effort and time to fix something than it does to do it right to start with. And I kind of feel like that's what Martin Luther King Jr. is talking about, is like, right, having a prayerful life helps us to do more things right to start with, and to make better decisions and to accept the guidance, to do the right thing in our relationships, in our lives, and our choices. So with that, I don't want to spend too much time on the negative and thinking about what we shouldn't pray for, but one of the things I've learned is really ineffective is praying for how to change others or how to change our given circumstances. I think it's better, and I've had a better result when I pray for understanding, pray for patience, and I pray for peace, when I pray for, you know, helping me discern on what to do or what action to take, or I pray for strength and how to deal with the situation. Because I think we can't control all those other external things, but praying for how we respond has been the most effective thing for me personally. So, how to pray. So it's really hard to teach somebody how to pray because it's a very personal and individual thing. But I do know that sometimes you need help getting started and need help through a structure. And it makes me think about education. And I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, and we use a technique called scaffolding to help our students who struggle with like an abstract concept to be able to understand that concept and apply it to themselves. The simple one is like addition and how we teach little ones how to understand the abstract concept of addition. Well, in education, we scaffold it by providing a support and a structure through like blocks, what we call manipulative, like little blocks. Okay, we'll put two blocks here and two blocks there, and pump them two blocks and two blocks and four blocks. And we're teaching and scaffolding that. So we help them to understand the concept, and eventually we take those blocks away and they understand addition. So I think Catholic scaffold the best. We have a lot of tools in our toolbox. Catholics have tons of prayers that you can draw from, prayers that we're going to learn from more about today. And we also have those like manipulative scaffolding tools like the rosary that you can hold and connect with and touch and feel that can help you to scaffold your own prayer life. So if you think of prayer, the center of prayer is relationship, then all the things that we have as Catholics are just tools to help us to build that relationship. Like even the simple prayer of thanks for our meals, we have that prayer that we can utilize to help scaffold that. And the rosary, Hail Mary, those are all prayers that will help us to build that relationship. Even a song. So find prayers, I think find the prayers and look through prayers and listen to the prayers that you talked about and find what you connect with the most and what works for you personally and start there would be my little tidbit. Even if it's just a song that you listen to every day, listen to it every day in the car and have that be a part of your form of prayer. So distractions, there's no way of getting rid of them. We all have them. I have them all the time, all day. They're just a part of our life. So I think one of the things I'm learning to do and I'm working on is adjusting my prayer for the moment. And like I said, building that toolbox to start with learning one prayer. Maybe it's just saying thanks every day for your meal. And then add and layer on prayers. So that you have prayers for different situations. I mean, I think the one that I probably go to the most is just meditating and sitting quietly and listening when I'm the most frustrated and I'm really desperate. I find time to set aside even 2 to 5 minutes, usually if it works. Sometimes it's at home with my kids. Well, okay, probably more at home with my kids. But I'll just go to my room and step away because I have learned that I can't control much, but I can control walking away from something. And I walk away and find time, and so that doesn't take any kind of like memorization of anything or any kind of, it's just sitting and listening quietly and just trying to, you know, clear your mind. So speaking of clearing your mind, because as soon as you try to do that, a million things come through your mind. So I think let's have grace for ourselves and start really small, like start with 30 seconds, 1 minute, and try to sit and listen and clear your mind. Because talking is really easy. Like saying prayers are pretty easy things to do. It's the listening part that seems to be really hard for me, but it's also the most important thing. So I think starting really small is what you can do. Even keep track of, if you have phones, you can keep track of everything. You can say, for this week, I'm going to set a timer for 1 minute every day. And then build on that. One of the things that has really worked for me, I don't know if you've heard of this new term called habit stacking. Where you have one existing habit and stack another thing you want to develop as a habit, attach it to it or stack it on top of it. So I have an existing habit of walking every day. I walk every day. So if I want to build another habit, I'm going to attach it to that. So instead of walking and listening to music, which is what I usually do, I'm going to walk and pray, you know, the first half of my walk and then listen to music. And so by attaching it to something I'm already doing, it helps me to develop that prayer life. And you have to make it work for you. So I really am connected to the rosary. I love saying the rosary. But I don't carry a rosary with me everywhere, but I have developed my own system of like counting with my fingers. And so I count with my fingers the rosary and do pray the rosary as I'm walking. So that's my own scaffolding tool, you know, so find what works for you. And prayer is also, it depends on your attitude and your approach to it. So I think it's important to be dedicated to the practice and committed to it, setting your expectations for what I know, like, every time I set an expectation for something to do to help me lose weight, if I don't lose weight, I quit doing it because it's not working for me. So think about what you expect to get out of prayer. So if it's a transactional and you want to get your boyfriend to propose to you and it doesn't happen right away, then you probably are going to quit praying. But if you think about, again, going back to that relationship, developing that relationship with God working through you and what you can do, and asking for, what are you asking for? If you're asking for patience, I just feel like that's going to be much more effective than it has been for me than to ask for other people to change or a material thing to happen to me, because those that's just not the way it tends to work, and then it's not going to work out, and then it's still praying, right? And just like we talk about the Bible being a living document, that we get what we, you know, what we need out of it at that time in our lives. Prayers are going to change and grow with you. So a prayer that you might connect with now and say all the time, like maybe eventually a different prayer you'll connect with, but it's okay to have your prayer life and your practices change and grow with you. Use this thought. Hand it off. I'm going to hand it off to you. It's on. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I'm glad that I can share this with the people, because I used to do it all the time, all by myself and stuff, you know, and things around, so I love it when we did. So, as Danny said, we're going to talk a little bit about different prayers and stuff. And in the previous years, we've just kind of glided through or glanced through some of the prayers that I thought, let's come over this, because it was your chain last year that kept on asking about, okay, what about the Hail Mary? I mean, I don't know the Hail Mary all day. I don't know what I'll call it and all that. So we're going to start with something very easy, the sign of the cross. A lot of people don't realize it, but the sign of the cross is a prayer. It is the most common prayer we have as Catholics. Usually, you'll walk into any kind of Protestant church or anywhere else, even if the kind of cross, they all know this text. But it's a good thing. It's a prayer because we're remembering three persons in one God. and it's all known as the Trinity. Sometimes when you feel like you just don't have anything to pray, and it's just one of those days you're just not there, just make time for that. And then just be kind. And that's all I take over. If that's all you can do for one day, God is pulling in the scene. Okay. When do we use the cry of the cross? Well, we use it a lot as prayers. We use it at the beginning and the end of prayers. We do it tonight in the prayers. It's dawn. The rosary starts with the sign of the cross and will also end with the sign of the cross. People will do the sign of the cross when they see something terrible happening or an accident or an ambulance driving by them with the sign of the cross. Sometimes people pass a church. Pass a church will make the sign of the cross, meaning that Jesus is in the covenant inside that church. There's no wrong time to be a sign of the cross. You can use it every day throughout the whole day if you need to. So just going over real quick before our meetings and stuff, the motions to make the sign of the cross is really simple. You're going to make a cross on your body. So you take your right hand on the forehead and Father, middle of the chest for the Son, left shoulder for Holy, right shoulder for Spirit. And your Father's hand for the Spirit. Very simple. It's fun to watch children learn the sign of the cross. They do it backwards because they're watching you. So I've learned from Jazzercise, the leader has to do it the opposite direction so that everybody knows how to do it right, right? So our little granddaughter Diana does it backwards. Let's learn the right way. Of course not. You learned it the right way. In some cultures, you'll notice that they do the sign of the cross a little differently. Like in the Hispanic culture here, they will sometimes make a cross out of the soup, and they'll do that. Sometimes they'll even do it two times. They do that a lot. It's the Trinity. They're recognizing the three people that are in the cross. Eastern Church, Eastern Catholic Church, they will hold up three symbols. The Trinity. You know, it's all in three. And it'll be the name of Father, Son, and Spirit. All that's acceptable. Whatever makes you comfortable. Whatever culture you like to inherit. The sign of the cross also will remind us of our baptism. We are given the cross on the forehead when we get baptized. And the water is poured over us, saying the Trinity formula, which is Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. So making the sign of the cross is recognized as a baptism. So when do we really should be more aware of that prayer? Is when we're praying into the church. We give our fingers in the holy water and we sign of the cross. That is when we really should stand out the scriptures recognizing my baptism. I'm a disciple of Jesus and I'm remembering that I am his son and his daughter. Okay? And also, do the sign of the cross in the lead church, that please give us the strength that we need in the lead scriptures. Because God knows what life is like out here. It's so much easier to be a good Catholic inside that church. It's so much harder to be a good Catholic inside that church. So it will give us that strength that we need. Any questions? Yeah.
I also heard a lot of the new times that the drinking of the Catholic and the disciplines are Jesus, you know, through God and through God.
Yes. Okay, so the next prayer is the Our Father. Very famous prayer. You say it at church every time you go to Mass. Jesus teaches us this prayer. This is actually coming right out of the Bible. He is asked, how are we supposed to pray? And he gives us the Our Father. You'll find him in Matthew and Luke's Gospel. So if you see the Our Father, it is the first four petitions draws towards the glory of the Father, giving him praise and naming our relationship with him. The second half of prayer is a petition for God to help us. Okay? So I want to go over every line with you guys and just kind of give a little bit of detail about it, what is important in that line. Our Father. Start out with Our Father. The love God has for us is an unconditional love. In naming who he is, God shows us who we are. If God is our Father, then we are His sons and daughters. We are invited to come to God with childlike trust and to love as He loves us. We first use the word our, then the rest of the prayer we use the word us. This prayer does not exclude no one. God loves everyone. Who art in heaven? According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, heaven does not mean a place, but a way of being. We are all moving towards our final home in our Father's house. It is not a place in the way we often imagine, but a state of grace, joy, and true peace. It is there that God resides, and where He invites us to be with Him now and for eternity. Hallowed be Thy name. God gives us His name. He shows that He is not disconnected from us. Rather, God is close to us, invested in us. The word hallow means to revere, honor, respect, and make holy. We have the privilege to know God's name and to call on Him. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we are asking God to fulfill His promise that He will return on the last day. We also ask God to bring His kingdom here and now, so we might reflect in our own life. We learn to be open to the will of God through prayer. Each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to help us to surrender of our will and place our trust completely in Him. We want and need to let go of our control. It is only after we surrender that we become more godlike, and learn to love one. Give us this day our daily bread. Now we enter the second part of the prayer and our petitions to God. When God saved the Israelites from slavery, He led them into the desert. And there, every morning, God sent them manna cakes. They were made out of bread, into bread. Everyone could eat their fill every single day, but the manna would not keep for the next day because it would rot. By teaching us to ask for our daily bread, Jesus calls us to find peace in trusting Him to provide for us every single day. That's what He did for the Israelites. God desires us to be fully present, not looking backwards in regret or forward in anxiety, but to love and serve here and now. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. To be forgiven, we must forgive. When we fail to recognize and pass on the forgiveness God has given us, we move ourselves and others away from us. We are able to forgive because ourselves have been forgiven. Jesus shows us how and gives us strength to do it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The wording of this petition is confusing due to the difficulty of translating the original Greek to English. It can sound like we're asking God not to lead us into temptation, but God can't tempt us against Himself. On the contrary, God wants to set us free from evil. So in this petition, we ask God not to let us take the path that leads to sin. We turn to God and ask Him to help us distinguish between His voice and the voices that try to lead us away from Him. We can distinguish between these voices by asking, is this thought or desire leading me closer to God? Does this open me to the goodness and truth? Will this action show God's love to others and myself? And of course, we always end with amen, which is basically saying, yes, I believe. Everything I just said, I believe in.
I just want to put a little plug in for Father's School because that movie is fantastic. One of my favorite parts, the biggest aha from that film, was his homily on this prayer. He talks about the rest of personality being forgiven for things directly proportional to our willingness to forgive others. Watch that film, that is one of my favorite parts.
All right. So I want us to say the prayer all together. And I know we Catholics that have been Catholic forever, we say it all the time, but do we really listen to the words of the name? Because I think we say it at every Mass we go to, it just kind of speaks to the right of our head. I really didn't even think about the words as much until I started to look into it and see what these words actually meant. And now when I say to Our Father, I'm saying it a whole different way now because I'm understanding each of these lines. So let's say it all together, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
So the next prayer, the Hail Mary, that's a very popular Catholic prayer. We don't say it in a Mass, but we say it in a lot of times. We say it at the Rosary. We'll say it, a lot of times when we go to the church meetings or something, we'll start with the opening prayer, we'll do the Hail Mary. It's just calling on our mothers to intercede and help us out. So we'll go over to Hail Mary. This prayer also has two parts. The first is actually the biblical greeting of the angel Gabriel to Mary. The second part is the prayer petitioning Mary's intercession. So Hail Mary, this was the greeting that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary. The angel used the word hail. This term was only used for royalty, like hail Caesar. It wasn't used for peasants. This is why the Bible says that Mary was troubled by this greeting. Full of grace, the Lord is with you. Gabriel said, the Lord is with you. Mary was troubled at these words as well, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. These words come from Mary's cousin Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. When Mary entered the house, Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord will be. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Mary's answer to the angel was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. God is with us because of Mary's yes. She prays that we too can say with her, thy will be done. Pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. The first part is pray for us now. We ask Mary to intercede for us for her son. To trust her. She is very close to the son, obviously. And so we can pray to her. Pentecostal churches and Protestant churches think that we have to worship Mary. We don't worship her. We only worship God. But we have Mary intercede for us. We pray to Mary so that she can go to her son with what we are praying for, what our wish is for. And then at the hour of our death, and when that time comes, may our mother lead us to our son. And that is definitely, I'm hoping at the hour of my death, how we will be able to be right there with Mary, and Mary right there just bringing safety to her son. And of course, then we say, yeah, amen. Any questions? So let's say it together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It's a really nice short. So I mentioned petitions and intercessions, and I was thinking about these prayers. So I just kind of want to talk about that a little bit, because that always comes up when people asking us, what's the difference between what's an intercession versus a petition? Petitions, prayers of petitions, are seeking for forgiveness and turning back towards God. That is a petition. Intercessions is when we intercede or somebody intercedes for us, and asking others to pray for us, or asking Mother Mary, that's what the divine is called, Mother Mary to intercede for us, pray for us. During our Mass, we do a lot of petitions and intercessions. I don't know if anybody's ever picked up on that. So I want to go over a few things from the Mass and see if you guys can figure out if it's a petition or if it's a question. And that can kind of help you understand between the two. So we'll start with the penitential rite. The penitential rite is at the beginning of Mass, when we do the I confess to Almighty God and to you, my goodness. That's the penitential rite. That's when we're first going into church, when we're in the beginning of church, and we're just going to let God know we're sinners, so we're still here. Okay? So the penitential rite is, you were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Is this a petition or an intercession? It's a petition. We are seeking for forgiveness. We're at the beginning of Mass, it's starting, we're asking for the forgiveness. The prayer of the faithful. The prayer of the faithful comes after the homily and after the creed. The creed is, I believe, in one God, Father Almighty. That's the creed. So right after that, the deacon will talk and they'll do a prayer of the faithful. And then he can say something like, the church leaders will grow closer to our Lord for their lives will reflect this teaching. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who have wealth and power will place themselves at the service of those in need. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our sick of the parish and everyone who are in need of healing. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those that have died. May they feel the glory of God in heaven. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Petitions or intercessions? We're interceding for this. We're interceding for our church leaders that they will follow God's teaching. We intercede for the wealthy and the powerful. We are interceding for the sake of our parents, interceding for the people that have done the kindness of us. And one last one is the breaking of the bread. We have a prayer called the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Petition or intercession? Anytime you see the word mercy in there, it's pretty much representing the petition for mercy. And it's up right against the glory of the communion. So one last time, we're asking God to forgive for everything we have done and to have our hearts and our souls open to receive the communion. Okay? Any questions over any of that? I think I could give you a little tidbit about the Mass a little bit more. Well, the next slide will show you. Well, what is the most perfect prayer of them all? The most perfect prayer. We go to Mass. We go together as a community, listening to God's word. We reflect on each other that we all know we're sinners. Then we get to pray for the bread and the wine. We see Jesus in your body and your blood. We see that as a community. People will also say that when you go to Mass, you will never be close to heaven because you are going to go to Mass. You can just imagine people up in heaven having you on Mass. And I swear to you, after my dad died about 8 years ago, and about a year or two after his passed, I was at Mass one time here at OIA, and I totally felt the presence. So there's a little, before we break, there's a little video I found, and I thought it was really cute. And it's just different ways to pray. There's more like complicated ways to pray. Lead us into break time with the video. Okay.
Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, Lord Jesus, and all your wonderful, Lord Jesus, things that you, Lord Jesus, do for us, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, I just want to thank you for Annie and Sarah and Molly. I know that with your strength we can change the world! We can change the world! Woo! Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars,
and we give you the praise.
Yes, Jesus.
We cannot wait to see what you're going to say today. And we are excited.
Aunt Margaret's really nasty hangnail. And I worship you forever and ever. God, I toilet paper, deodorant. Speaking of, I need to get some more.
Hey God, thanks for bringing us here today. Thank you for all the stuff that you're going to do in our lives. The way you're going to work is absolutely amazing, and we are super amped for everything that you hold for us.
I just don't know what to say.
Hey God, man, you're great. Help me find a mate. Amen. Salt, garlic salt, sea salt, kosher salt. God, just let your doves of knowledge flow from under our fingernails of repentance.
Laugh at that. Although I even have to admit there's a few of them in my back. Not the sneezing in the hand. The tall sleeper. Let's take about a 5-minute break, and then we're going to come back and actually do a prayer session where we're going to say evening prayer tonight. So go get some goodies and something to drink.
And the day was the night.
it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I'm like, Follow our calendar, our church calendar, the
throughout the year. And they are big books. So this is the seven books that you would pray during the year. So depending on Advent, Lent, and then ordinary time. So that, and if there's a guide that helps you to know where to mark the prayers that you've been praying, you kind of flip back and forth throughout the book. An easier way of doing this is on your phone. If you have it on your phone, you can do iBlueberry, and it has it right there for you. The Latte does it. USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. There's also publications. And this is just one, and this is called Give Us This Day. And it has the masses in it, and the readings for the month of this one's for September. But it also has the liturgy of the hours. And it's an abbreviated liturgy of the hours. But you can follow it in here as well. So you have different options to do.
Mary, that's also useful.
That's why I was going to say too. You can get this on your phone. So there's different ones. This is the one that is useful. I have it on my phone. You could say like to read it from the book. So whichever you're more comfortable with.
What's the other one you have?
I don't have that. I don't have that one anymore. But yeah. So there's different ones you can do. And you can just Google Liturgy of the Hours and look it up for you. Or iBravery, you can put that in Google and it will pop right up and you can just have it right there in your phone. But we're going to practice this prayer. We're going to do it tonight, this side. And you can join, and the team is going to pass out the prayers to you. And you'll notice on the prayer, when you see a little red cross, that means that we are going to make the sign of the cross before that prayer. If it's in gold, that is what you are going to do. Saying, and then I will say what is in the regular script. So we're going to go back and forth. So we'll start, you start on the left, and then we'll go to the right.
Your left or the left?
I think left.
Okay. one more thing, when we get to the glory to the Father, the Son, it's not the regular Glory be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. It's a shorter form, and you'll notice there's a red asterisk. That means whichever side finished the last verse will alternate over. Let's say if this was the last stanza here, then they'll start the glory, and then the other side will do the second half. So that's what the little asterisk means. So we can split that one up and alternate.
And the response for all, it's for all, and it says in parentheses, all, it means that we say it all together as a whole group.
And I'm sharing it on screen for those who are on Zoom. Everybody can see okay? Okay.
So, let us begin. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord surrounds his people with his strength.
Those who put their trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They cannot be shaken. It stands forever.
Jerusalem, the mountains surround her.
For the scepter of the wicked shall not press over the land of the just, for fear that the hands of the just should turn to evil. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The Lord surrounds his people with his strength.
Unless you acquire the heart of a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Unless you acquire the heart of a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Lord, you have made us a kingdom and priests for God our Father.
O Lord our God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive the scroll and break open its seals. You made of them a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they shall reign on earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, you have made us a kingdom and priests for God our Father.
A reading from Matthew 12:9-12. Your love must be sincere. Detest what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another with the affection of brothers. Anticipate each other in showing respect. Do not grow slack, but be fervent in spirit. He whom you serve is the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in the trial. Preserve in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Through all eternity, O Lord, your promise stands unshaken.
Through all eternity, O Lord, your promise stands unshaken.
Your faithfulness will never fail.
Your faithfulness will never fail.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Through all eternity, O Lord, your promise stands unshaken. And since this is a gospel verse, and we should cross ourselves when we begin as well. Did you see that?
My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
God establishes his people in hope. Let us cry out to him with joy. We thank you, Lord, because in Christ, you have given us all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
You are the help of your people, Lord.
O God, in your hands are the hearts of the powerful. Bestow your wisdom upon government leaders.
May they draw from the fountain of your counsel and please you in thought and deed.
You are the help of the people. The talents of artists reflect your splendor.
The work of the world, hope and joy. You are the help of your people, Lord.
You do not allow us to be tested beyond our ability.
Strengthen the weak and raise up the fallen. You are the help of your people, Lord.
Through your Son, you promised to raise men up on the last day.
Do not forget those who have died. You are the help of your people.
Remember us, Lord, when you come to your kingdom and teach us how to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord, may our evening prayer rise up to you, and your blessing come down upon us. May your help and salvation be ours now and for all eternity. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, there is a dismissal. So the one that we have there would be if there's not a deacon or a priest that can offer the blessing. And so a lay leader would say, the Lord be with you. Just like,
you with him.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that would be a deacon or priest. If it's a lay person, it's, may, but there's a simple, but there's where you ask for God's blessing for everyone, but you're not literally blessed. May Almighty God bless us, protect us from all the wrong people. Praise everyone. Is the lady. We're all asking God's blessing.
Okay. So you have prayed.
That's
how you can hear.
It's another form of our prayer that you can start to incorporate with your. I like it online because those books,
yeah.
When we were in formation for them becoming deacons, going back and forth to Mr. Isaac.
But you know, he could tell like he used the book. He still uses the book. Oh, that's different. Well,
so I walked in and out, so it might have been explained, but why do we call it the Liturgy of the Hours? And why are deacons and priests and bishops and sisters and brothers, why do they take a vow to say it? It's so that in between the Mass, liturgy means the work of the people. So that there are constantly people lifting up the whole church in prayer every minute of every day. When you look at all of the time zones. And everything. So it's throughout the day for our own prayer and connection to God, both as individuals, and this is really a communal prayer, but we all vow to say that so that, you know, there's people that don't have anybody to pray for them. This is lifting them up in prayer too. So it's constantly lifting up all of the body of Christ in prayer. There's the hours, all of them.
You can chain it like that.
Now it makes you want to do it. But no, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I want to be part of
church. Yeah. Yes,
you can say. I would like to say something about church. Oh. we have two sets. That's very set. My set is at home, and I preset my books for the whole year. There's a certain part of the books that you can preset, but there's this sense of sacredness. There's the sense of just diving really deeply when you tabbing and shifting your ribbons. It dives you deeper into the prayer. It's not just like you can sit on your phone. And I was catching myself during my hours and 5 minutes just speed reading on the phone. And I really wasn't getting anything out of it. So I've been forcing myself to use my books to slow my prayer down, to enter into a real powerful relationship with God. Like John said, the church prays constantly. We're constantly praying. So, yeah, I'm old school.
Well, the other thing with your phone is your text messages are coming up, your voicemails are coming up.
But deep and on, when we're at the football games, before the kickoff, we'll sit on the sidelines and we'll do our prayers. And that way you don't take your books with you, because you can't carry that heavy book on the football
game. Yeah, when you're traveling, I take off at 5 a.m., about 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. But I'm packing light because I don't want to check in luggage. I'm not bringing my big reader.
I would not recommend using the books that set. They're extremely expensive. It takes years to get used to. And like Diane was saying, there's smaller ones.
The secular caramel, I've been looking at the secular caramel. I've been sitting back with the two teachers. He says that the book, when you hold a book in your hand, it's like a sacramental. As opposed to holding a book. So it just gives it a different, whole different feel.
And turning a page instead of swiping.
Right. Well, and it's the object itself.
Yeah. But there's some days when there's two or three saints, and I say, go to the common saints and common prophet, pastors and conversions. I said, go.
But we, the deacons go on a yearly retreat. And we pray morning and evening prayers as a diaconate community.
Just 3 weeks.
And the watch.
There you go.
3 weeks. Yeah. So
when you come to Mass that weekend, you want the 2 weeks.
Wait, they're gone for 3 weeks?
No. In 3 weeks, you go for a weekend.
It's a weekend.
A long weekend.
I have to go for 3 weeks. But it's never in Hawaii or anywhere fun. Just local here.
Yeah.
So I'm hopefully doing the Liturgy of the Hours kind of gives you a little taste of some of the forms of prayers that we have. Next week, and everybody online as well, you need to come in person next week because we are not going to be taping it, okay? There will be no online. We're going to have 4 stations of different prayer styles and let you guys experience different styles. And there may be 1 or 2 that you really, really like, and maybe 1 or 2 that you don't really care for. But at least you'll be introduced to it, okay? So come next week ready to just experience different kind of styles. And then throughout the year, we'll be doing different prayer experiences. We'll be going over the rosary with you guys one night. We're going to do the Stations of the Cross. We do adoration, which is another form of prayer. We're going to do all of these little forms of prayer throughout the whole season, the whole year. Okay?
Craig, there's no way you're going to be here next week, right?
I'll make an effort to be there. I'll see what I can do. I'll confirm with you, though.
Okay.
Okay, excellent. All right, anybody have any questions or anything? Thanks for coming out for the heat. So it's cooler outside. We should have been outside. Our evening prayer was our So everybody have a great week. Pray that this heat breaks.
Yes.
And we'll see you all next Tuesday.
All right, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you in person next week.
You as well. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
I'm not sure.